Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.
Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show, firing off here on a thirsty Thursday. That means we got the Gamecocks Smorgasbord coming up. But we are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And as always, my co-host, JC. How's it going, man?
Good. A little writing today.
Was quite a bit of writing today.
That's I needed to get that out. Just a programming note on coffee. So football's on spring break, folks. There's just literally nothing going on except Dylan. It was crazy because I don't know if I was on the phone with somebody or said it on the show. I don't remember, my short-term memory. I can remember scores from 1986, but ask me what happened an hour ago. I have no idea. And obviously, Wally Scissorback is somewhere rattling around in my mind.
Somewhere. That's right.
Oh, hey, I need Scissorback. To get more sleep.
I loved it. I never heard of that one.
Scissorback. Zerbiak.
Zerbiak.
Samson, Swanson, the Samsonite. I was way
Samsonite,
off.
Samsonite, yeah.
But anyway, I don't always remember that. But I was saying yesterday, you know, I looked on Instagram. I was on Instagram just checking things. And Dylan Stewart had an Instagram story pop up, and he was in Miami. And this was like Monday. And I was like, what's he doing in Miami? And like all these thoughts came rolling through my head about, you know, the silent transfer everybody's talking about, like the little, there's two lawyers in particular that they want nothing. I mean, they could care less about sports or the game or anything. Everybody's a victim. They want unlimited transfers at all times and to have a constant negotiation going on with at all times. So their billable hours will go up. Obviously that's the only sane, I guess. And then, you know, and look, I don't mind you advocating for players and pay and stuff like that. But when 24 hours a day, anything that involves common sense that's not 100% pro player is what you put out, you have another agenda. So, because if you're a lawyer, obviously you're not dumb, you know. So that's because those are the only two answers. So, anyway. So they put all that out, and they're pushing for all that. So what they're saying is, and the NCAA said, no, you can't do that. We'll put you on super secret probation.
Super secret probation.
And they're like, can't do that, you know. But people are saying, we're going to do it anyway and just sue. And so all these thoughts are going through my head because really, if it got right down to it, if Dylan Stewart had not picked Carolina, I think he was going to go to Miami. I think just based on what I was told at the time, I think that's the school that I may be wrong, you know, because Dylan is a man of few words. And honestly, he committed to Carolina and stayed committed to Carolina and didn't take a bunch of phone calls either. I got a little nervous because I forgot they were on spring break. So anyway, the long story short is just did the 250th episode of Coffee yesterday. I am out of topics. Writing and there's some topics I could get to and just throw it out there like whatever, but I'm gonna elect to save those because there is a summertime coming up, and most of the focus of the fan base has been on two things: Lamont Paris coming back and that decision, and then baseball going spiraling through the drain, and you know, the future of those two sports that happens this time of year. We're going to pick it back up with season two of Coffee starting on Monday.
Season two.
But I got to 250. I was like, that's a good number to roll it over. So that's why there's no coffee this morning. There won't be a coffee tomorrow morning, but you certainly will hear from me on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. X-Man, I don't know where Jeff Collins went. I actually tried to look that up yesterday once I found out he was gone. But, you know, so in the, I don't know how much you got to this in the ITG McKellar Enterprises chat box. Matt brings up a point that I wanted to bring up, Bill. I was on with Bill King today, and Craiger, I know if you listen, you're going to hear me bring this up again, or maybe I brought it up on Tuscaloosa. We got to get NIL pay to be performance-based, or at least half to be incentive for performance and winning, and you will see effort and attitude go up in all sports. I agree, but with what it is and how they're trying to define it, you can't. Because they're still, the presidents and the NCAA, they still say it's not pay for play. It's for their name, image, and likeness. Because once you get into pay for play, by its truest sense, then it opens you up to employment and the laws and all that, which is probably where they're going to go anyway. Unfortunately, good luck untangling that spider web. State to state, you've got a bunch of public institutions. You have laws in certain states that either are outlaw straight up or strongly discourage public employee unions. Even going back in the day, that shouldn't be a partisan issue, but it is these days. Going back in the day, FDR was against that. Public. And so if they're public employees, because they're working for state, I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I don't know what you do with that. Some athletic departments have tried to go private, like Kentucky, and I guess they were successful. But on the other side of that, I don't like that, because that belongs to the people of South Carolina, not to the administrator du jour or the players or anything. I mean, it belongs to the players eventually, but that's not something that the institution, it just owns. I mean, because who owns the institution? The people of South Carolina. You can't privatize that. But anyway, so I don't know how they get around that and all that good stuff, but that's kind of where it goes. And so if you get into employment and pay for play, it's all that. But I want to point this out. Name another profession, right, in our society where the two biggest forward-facing stars or big major players, like the sport would not exist without these two things, right?
Right.
Wouldn't exist without the fans, but that's with any business, customers, fans, whatever you want to call it. Coaches and players. In college sports, there is zero financial, there's zero financial accountability. And here's why. Because with the players, all those NIL deals are guaranteed. The only way you don't get it is if you walk off the team and quit, because it's just you have to be a student athlete at the school. If you get hurt, and look, I agree with paying the guys that are hurt. Some people are like, they get hurt, they shouldn't have to play. Now, it needs to be a legit injury. If you sandbag like that kid at Kansas, no. The doctors need to determine that. And there are some agents out there that try to slyly put in contracts that, oh, the player will determine if he's injured or not. No, you can't go there.
There needs to be independent medical review,
independent medical review. But, yeah, Matt, and so I started thinking about this today. It's like there's zero financial accountability. If a coach gets fired, he's got a big buyout. He gets his money. Now, for a professional who worked his way up, I mean, we've been talking about Lamont Paris a lot yesterday. That dude used to coach at some terrible places. He probably wasn't making anything, you know? Really? And all coaches are like that. They all start somewhere, work their way up in their profession like normal. So I don't like the big buyouts, but I get it. But then, you know, I get it somewhat. I think they do need to go away. But it's
well, I think there are creative ways where you could still
shorten
the length of contracts and not have so much hanging over there. Yeah.
Yeah. Who says, you can't shorten the lengths of contracts unless everybody does. That's the whole thing with all the contract adjustments. If everybody doesn't do it, there's schools out there that will. They don't give a crap. They got it. Well, whatever, you know, and that's kind of what you want to avoid. But, you know, this whole notion of without cause. When is losing without cause? That is the cause of most people getting fired in coaching.
This is the other side of it, is that losing is the biggest cause of them all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not advocating for, you know, inappropriate relationships, right? But how is that germane to the product on the field?
Yeah.
Maybe it is, maybe it's not. But at the same time, I'm not here to legislate morality inside the athletic department. As a donor, I want wins and losses. I want that record to be better. So, yeah, I mean, you know, and if you're losing consistently, then that seems like it is four calls. And maybe that needs to be put into contracts too. But the problem is you know, it's I don't really care about the if nobody else is doing it, it's not going to be done, because somebody's got to be first. Somebody's got to have the cojones enough to try to change the system and stop just complaining about it.
In college, and, unfortunately, you can't do that, though, Phil.
Yeah, I think there's an argument. Maybe not in football. I don't think football's the right place.
I don't know about any of these sports, dude. Basketball, it's like, okay, whatever. You're about to not be. I mean, every coach that's there that does anything could even take a job that's worse than yours because they want the financial security.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a difference between financial security, in my opinion, and just freaking winning the lottery, right?
Right. I mean, and that is, and of course, obviously those definitions are obviously so subjective that, you know, one man's lottery is another man's, you know.
What I would like to see is
generational wealth. But I mean, we're talking about generational wealth, whether or not you're getting a 10-year contract or a 4-year contract, period. And when you're talking about 7 figures over the course of multiple years, it doesn't have to be 10 to change your life, period, or the lives of your children or the lives of your children's children. So it's just I don't like that argument. I think that it is somebody's going to try it. I think it could be successful at the lower levels and could actually be demonstrated to work. Like, and just, hey, look, hey, we're not having to hang out all these millions of dollars in buyouts. We just put him on a 4-year contract. We give him an extension every year if he hits a certain set of metrics, which is in, you know, kind of like a perpetual situation of buyouts, but it reduces the buyout. It also maintains the security for the coach themselves, you know, and if your coach is willing to leave under that set of circumstances, then he's just a greedy bastard. And some of these guys are just greedy bastards.
Yeah. I'd like to see this. I'd like to see, you know, you could even go up on salary if you wanted to every year. I would like to see a standard starting salary or a base and then heavily incentivize it. In other words, okay, so if you're making five, you know, you're going to make $5 million even if you go 0-12. Every win, you kick it up $500,000. Bowls, postseasons, you know, you could tie it to all kinds of incentives. I mean, your contract could be worth, you know, $10-11 million in a
results
in a normal, you know, normal year, not even a great year, and on up from there if you're great. And then if they get fired, it's 1 year. You get the base, and that's it. $5 million to walk away for getting fired is a hell of a severance package.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and people say, well, they're just like CEOs. I think CEO pays a little bit right of whack, if you ask me.
A little upside down.
My wife works for a freaking nonprofit, And Health, Blue Cross Blue Shields in Illinois is operated by HCSC, which that Texas, Illinois, New Mexico, all these, they're the Blue Cross people, but it's technically a nonprofit. The guy that runs it makes $31 million a year. And when they brought his nickname's the Hatchet, and he just was brought in there to fire a bunch of people. Yeah, right. Just okay. The more people you fire for this nonprofit, right? Allegedly.
Right.
The better. They did $1.3 billion in profit. And they have to reinvest a certain amount of it. It's stupid. But
now it's the same thing with the healthcare system up here, at least through Prisma. It's like, well, we operate under, you know, the GHS 501c3. Yeah. I'm like, that's BS.
and I think this, dude, with all that. It's CEOs and coaches. The vast majority of them suck. I mean, like, look at the guy that was running Boeing that got grilled in front of, I mean, what a cluster that company was. I mean, it used to be, you know, the gold standard for aeronautical engineering in the world. Now, you designed a plane that killed 600 people because some idiot programmed it the wrong way. Your computer was programmed the wrong way. Whoopsie. Somebody get IT on the phone. I mean, you know, coaches same way. How many bad coaches have just cashed out?
Yeah.
And I just, you know, sports are supposed to be about accomplishments and winning, and it's a meritocracy if there ever was one. And I just think that's very skewed, that, and maybe is a lack of incentive sometimes with regards to like players and coaches, that they don't suffer at all money wise if they lose. Guess who does suffer? The fans that pay money to come, they feel like they wasted it. If you're not competing, if you're not winning and losing is different than like mailing it in because you're okay. I don't know. It's a mess. But Harrison says, I guess with Jeff Collins being gone, the chances of us lifting weights on the field pregame at Clemson in November just walked out the door. You remember that? Georgia Tech came to Clemson when he's head coach, and they were lift bench pressing on the field. That was weird. I think Brent Key sort of eliminated that tradition.
I wonder if that's where Bakich got the whole let's do stretches in between innings thing from Jeff Collins.
I think that's like a Clemson basketball or Clemson baseball tradition is being a little bit weird. It's just a little weird there.
Things are just a little weird there.
Just a little bizarre, right? So we do have Alex coming up for Gamecock Smorgasbord today. It's one of our favorite days. Let's go ahead and hit a small break. We'll come back with a small segment.
Works.
Craiger, I hope everything's okay. Yeah, Craiger's getting MRI Saturday.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, negative and they figure it out.
I got an MRI one time, and I'm claustrophobic. It was when I had vertigo and I was in the hospital.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I'm claustrophobic, and they put me in that, and they were like, would you like a sedative? I was like, no, nah, I'll be fine. Next time I'm taking the sedative. You can't think about it like when you're in, because you're in there for a while too. And if you move, you're going to be in there.
You're in there longer.
Oh, it sucks.
It's the racket that just like, I don't mind the enclosed space, but that bang, that constant. Oh, God.
Yeah. You just don't know. It's
way too much for me. Yeah. I got one coming up too for something going on. So looking forward to that.
Expect Johnny Five is alive to come up from Short Circuit to come around the corner. All right. Let's hit the break real quick. We'll talk about sponsors here in a little bit. This is Inside the Gamecocks Show.
Coffee, weekday mornings with J.C. Sherbert. Watch or listen on the Chief Sports app, the Chief Sports YouTube page, available on Apple and Spotify.
When you buy and sell your sports and fitness gear at Play It Again Sports, you support a local business. We pay our customers for their quality used sports and fitness gear and resell it, recycling it back into your community. Support local, score savings. Play It Again
Sports! So, Mason, what do you focus on in the law? My answer to that is I'm a personal injury lawyer. I like to help people that are injured as a result of somebody else's negligence or in a workers' compensation matter get back to normal. That's where my passion is. But what I want everyone out there to understand is More important to me is that I'm your trusted resource for any problem that you may have.
Visit westlawfirmsc.com.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture presents our coverage of South Carolina baseball and softball. Visit palmcasual.com today. Make your outdoor space the best it can be. Go Gamecocks! Visit GamecockTraditions.com and get your gear today. They'll ship it to your doorstep. Go Gamecocks!
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
And now back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Rolling on here, brief little segment to close out the first hour of the show here before we fire up the Gamecocks smorgasbord. Yeah, latest news on the legislative front is the governor said he was going to veto the concealment legislation.
Yeah, by the way, here's a score update for you.
Oh, yeah.
Miami Redhawks, 74. UMass Minutemen, 74. 445 to go in the second. That's 76, 74 now. But, yeah, so go Frank Martin, man. I looked at that run they had, and I was like, oh, my God. That happened here. Frustrating.
Right.
Frustrating. Yeah, look, I just saw that news, and I didn't get behind the paywall to see because my paywall – access is on my phone on an app and I didn't have time to look at it. I'd like to know why.
Well, he basically said, to sum it up, that he agrees fundamentally with the thought that nobody should know what individual players are getting paid, mm-hmm. but that the schools, the public universities of South Carolina should be forced to say how much of the revenue share is specifically spent on teams and programs. So like he would want a breakdown. We spend this much on football, this much on basketball, which I disagree with.
I think there's a compromise that you could, I would live with that, Phil.
I could live with,
but here's the problem too, by the way. Clint gives us an update under four timeout.
Yeah.
Massachusetts 77.
It just went to Miami.
I did. Oh my God. Dude. Yeah. I'm so fired up.
Oh, and now it's a tie ball game. This is an exciting basketball game.
Dude. Oh, yeah. I looked at all these scores and I was like, oh my God. I mean, these were some, they lost a game to Coastal Carolina that was absolutely unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, non conference. works. But anyway, I would, if I had to compromise on it, I would be fine with that. But you're still going to run into this because of the way it is. I mean, and look, everybody needs to be realistic over there at the State House about this. And thank God, I mean, they passed the bill. Thank God. That's the problem. McMaster, somebody who's his aide, or if you know anybody that knows him, I know somebody sort of knows him, but he needs to understand this, that the reason it's a disadvantage for South Carolina programs is not that, you know, not that they're trying to hide anything. It's the way that the total spend is allocated and the millions of dollars of privatized NIL that's flowing. And Matt said it's still pay for play. Absolutely, it's pay for play. There's no bones about it. You know, they failed to get it under control. The College Sports Commission / Clearinghouse is a joke. I mean, it's just completely run by people that basically are, you know, posing as these people that, you know, are going to enforce the new rules in the new era. And they're basically just NCAA rent-a-cops in disguise. Mm-hmm. You know, they're basically just trying to enforce the old rules that are unenforceable. And they're having a terrible, and they're also people that don't want to get sued. So there was a Pete Nakos from Olin 3 put out an article that said 63% of the clearinghouse deals that people are trying to get approved are booster or booster related, meaning collectives, yeah, meaning businesses owned by boosters and just boosters in general. So look, dude, I mean, it is what it is. Okay. And the problem is Carolina is no different than anybody else in the SEC. And what's going to happen is you're going to call some people, you know, to push a narrative that Clemson and South Carolina, they don't spend on sports, or somebody out there that doesn't understand this because it's so new and nobody, it changes every day. So your average Carolina or Clemson person, you know, somebody that's irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And most people that report things now are because they too don't understand it. And then you have the social media aggregators who are just, they just throw trash out there.
Oh my gosh.
They're better. They're AI bots, but human, you know, they're going to put, well, Clemson spent $18 million on football. Carolina only spent $9 million, and everybody's, but well, there's your answer. You know, why are you doing this? You know, when in reality, you know, Clemson in football took all their rev share and put it toward football with very little outside NIL. Whereas, there's your, is that dog in there?
He's down.
Bow, wow, wow, yippee, yo, yeah, yippee, yay.
He's going crazy. Somebody's at the front door. Wow. Yeah, who knows?
And then, so Carolina, they use 9 in rev share, but 15 in outside NIL. So that's 24 to 18. So Carolina actually spent more, but you can't report the other stuff. Maybe there's a way you can collectively, maybe the clearinghouse can say, well, this school, we approve this much in private NIL. You can't itemize it, but maybe you can do that and give a clearer picture. I think the individual one though is the most important because of how those deals are structured. And it's like that everywhere. You know, I think because there's no, and I know it sounds hypocritical because I kind of just went off about these are public assets. They are, but the money is kind of private money and the players, I mean, I don't necessarily, and this is what you get into with all this is pay for play stuff when they're employees or whatever is, you know, I just don't know that it's good. We do so much now that's not good for the sport. I think that would be horrible for the sport because A, you're actually really not going to know how much they make. But when those are the only numbers out there, you're going to sit there and criticize your coach and, you know, the lunatics on social media that aggregate are going to say South Carolina's only playing Little North Sellers this much because they don't have a clue. When in reality, it's a different story. So I just think with that incomplete of a picture, getting, you know, and it's like with anything, when you have partial information, Phil, and then that's taken as a holistic picture painted, that's bad.
And as far as the guy
that goes around suing everybody to, because he has to know everything.
Oh yeah,
that's clown behavior. I'm sure that there's really some actually worthy things he wants to know about, right? I understand that. But the number, if you want a collective number, is $22.5 million. That's how much out of the coffers of the University of South Carolina that they are paid. Why would you, you know, what are you trying to expose other than that? That number's public. It's been public. Why do you need to know more? What gives the public, is there a spending problem, you know, or are they not funding women's sports? I mean, women's sports across the board, championship level, they get plenty of money. You know, what are you wanting to do besides you're kind of like this, you know, self-important sleuth that has to know everything? Oh my God. You know, I mean, so, and you know, the journalists out there that want to know it, I'm not going to speak for everybody. You know, I don't think they have a right to know unless they're fully versed and educated in this whole thing. And they're not.
No,
clearly they're going to just reprint the numbers and let everybody discuss it, you know? And to me, that's not reporting. So anyway,
no.
UMass is up 83, 81, 23 seconds left. Oh my God.
Oh,
I'm having flashbacks of with the Frank Martin era here.
It's just crazy. It's nuts. They just got a turnover too.
Ooh, UMass?
UMass, yeah.
They got the ball?
Miami had to foul with 18-4.
Oh God, please don't miss the free throws, dude.
No, I know. Yeah, I know. Come like on. If he makes right, both yeah. free throws, they're up four. The game's essentially over.
All right, Marcus Banks with us still. Okay, so we got to get to a break.
Yeah, let's get to a break.
Go to GamecockTraditions.com. Alex with the smorgasbord's coming back. Phil, bring us back. We'll give an update on the game and then go into VHS dates. He made the first one. It's 84-81.
Yeah, it's 84-81. Yeah, right. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll wait here. We'll hit us a break. I got a little long. I got a 3-minute break to go.
All right.
That may get us through.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Oh.
Mike here from my good friend Troy Branham of Golden Gate Mortgage. Let's face it, it's been a rough go for mortgage rates the last couple of years. And now more than ever, you need someone on your side to get you the very best possible rate on a new mortgage or a refi. That's where Troy comes in. 27 years of experience working for you. Conventional, FHA, VA, USDA, renovation, rehabilitation loans, all doable with my man Troy Branham of Golden Gate Mortgage. And when I say doable, I mean the best. Best possible rate that's out there. It's a phone call that can literally save you thousands of dollars. 803-238-0111. 803-238-0111. You can also check out the website ggmortgage.com.
Jeffrey's got space and a touchdown.
If your golf game needs a little help, McKellar Enterprises is one click away. Meredith Taylor, a former Gamecock golfer, fields clients from all across the country. Golfers of every level are enrolling in her well-rounded golf camps. They're improving their game through virtual and on-course lessons. And now, many are a part of the membership program that gives you multiple monthly coaching options to get better. Are you improving for fun? Don't want to hold the group back any longer? Visit McKellarEnterprises.org today and go Gamecocks.
Test ride at Electric Bikes of Charleston today. Road trip ready. Ride comfortably. Forget road fatigue. The Velotric Fold 1 Plus features our exclusive Comfort Max frame design for an effortless, upright riding posture and a low step through. With an adjustable seat and stem, you'll be feeling great and ready for the next campsite adventure. Your back will thank you. Visit Electric Bikes of Charleston. Electric Bikes, Charleston.com.
New year, better floors. Now is the time. Refinish your hardwood floors with Recoat Revolution. Beautiful like new floors in just one day. No dust, affordable, and 5 stars. Give us a call in South Carolina, 803-397-1365. Or visit us at RecoatRevolution.com. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com. Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions, proud supporters of your South Carolina Gamecocks.
Do you like hot fudge sundaes? All right.
It's the Gamecock Smorgasbord with Alex Jones.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. UMass has defeated Miami of Ohio 87-83 in the MAC Championship semifinals. Congratulations to Frank Martin and his UMass squad for taking down the darlings of the MAC. And with that, we have a little something here before we dive into our smorgasbord.
Not a people pleaser, but I would like to please somebody a little bit. Hello, I'm Linda Ho. Well, I'm looking for someone who, I guess I would say tall, 5'5", maybe. You know, nothing's better than having a cherry Coke, Coca-Cola and cherry. You have to mix it up. That's when a Slurpee is the best. I also don't like to fold laundry. I love to wash, but folding is not a thing. And one of my guilty pleasures is watching really, really old movies like The Enchanted Cottage, where these two ugly people get together. But in the magic cottage, they're beautiful, but all their friends and family still see them as kind of creepy. And their best friend is blind. Relationship deal breaker is quoting, you know, historical people telling me what kind of scotch you drink and the brand. Have you ever done this where you will be with your friends or a couple and you immediately, now they look like lovers. I get uncomfortable because I'm like going, when they go home, they're going to, and I don't picture that for myself. I'm not a people pleaser, but I would like to please somebody.
Linda Ho. my wife is happy there's another Asian.
They've done it again.
VHS dates. I would never date this person. Not my bag of tea, but or cup of tea. My bag of oatmeal. I could see maybe. I don't know, man. You know, these are ones you got to be careful. I don't think she's going to get a very high rating compared to the others. Yeah. But you got to be careful. Like the Enchanted Cottage reference alone is like, whoa, wait a minute, dude.
Right.
That movie came out in 1945. It is kind of, for the times, a little strange, but the Cherry Coke thing, I don't know. I didn't learn too much about her past.
No.
Didn't like to fold laundry, you know?
Yeah. Don't have to fold the laundry.
Yeah, likes to wash but not fold. Well, I mean, that's because the machine does that part. Yeah. So nobody likes folding.
Clint says Linda Ho would be a great name for an escort service.
It would be.
I don't know why.
I mean, you know, I'm surprised.
Scissorback says he doesn't know why.
I think I'd go high 3-star on this one, maybe.
Yeah, 5.7.
Yeah.
You know, there's some sleeper tendencies. I may even go 5.6 on this because there's some sleeper tendencies there, but not wouldn't really be one I would go stake my name on, right? Mm-hmm. So sleeper to mid three, but keep an eye on that kind of
threes. Yeah,
that kind of thing. So how you doing, Alex?
Doing good. It's, you know, one of the best times of the year with basketball going on, and had a pretty good start to it today with what we're all watching there.
Yeah, dude, what a win for Frank. I'm happy for Frank Martin, like I said, because I'll go through this quickly here. These guys, okay, starting around, all right, so they lost to Miami at Miami by two. That had to be a heartbreaker. And they'd won two in a row, lost to Miami by two, then they won two more in a row, Eastern Michigan, Central Michigan. Then they go to Coastal and have this crazy game. I mean, the highlights made SportsCenter, where they lost in like double overtime or something, out of the conference. And then they come back 99-92 to Akron, 86-77 to Miami at home. Buffalo beat them 86-82. They lost 74-73 to Ball State. It all bottoms out at Bowling Green, 81-62, right, where they needed to turn it around because at that point they had lost six in a row. My guess is practice was not too fun the next day. Frank had finally had enough, so they beat Ohio 94-82, and then you have what's happening here. They're 17-15. So it's been a brutally tough stretch of, like, competitively close, heart-wrenching losses for this team. We saw that at South Carolina with Frank Martin.
Daniel Hankins Sanford too.
He had a pretty good game today, I think. So we saw this quite a bit. Daniel Hankins Sanford, 11 points, eight boards, co-team high in boards. Their guy is this Leonardo Batil. He's an international guy. Remember me talking about finding Frank. Players. Frank could find them internationally. And the guys like this are very good. He averaged 17.8 points per game, but he went off today, 25 points, eight rebounds, two assists in 32 minutes. So he's Italian.
Y'all think of Miami, Ohio will get in?
Auburn still could. Auburn's probably happy, but.
I don't know. Will they? Because then it ends up being a two-bid league, the MAC, then that could hurt those Buffalo teams.
Well, your partner, Mr. Analytics, thinks Auburn's getting in over Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, says that Miami doesn't have a leg to stand on.
That's that's the numbers guy.
Yeah, I see it both ways. I mean, they lost one game, but they also didn't play a quad one, quad two game at all the whole season. So
I know.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch, see what they do.
They have 10 fewer quad one losses than either Auburn or
Isn't
for a lack of trying.
That's true.
Travis Steele cursed. The curse of Sean Miller. You know what? Frank Martin kind of bit him in the butt twice, right? Because had Frank not lost the South Carolina job, there would have been Sean Miller could not have used that job as leverage to get. That's right. Probably used some job to go back to Xavier, right? And Travis Steele wouldn't have been fired after the second round of the NIT that they ended up winning.
If I remember, I think UMass almost beat Miami Ohio in the regular season.
It was at Miami Ohio. They lost by two.
Yeah, that's right.
They lost by nine at home. It was close, and the Redhawks have played a lot of close games this year. I mean, it's been close, but. Yeah, I don't know. The one thing I disagree with Matt on is that he said, well, they've got a lot of close wins. I don't think that should matter. Now, it does in basketball, unfortunately, because they took out the win-loss component from the net.
Yeah.
And I'm like – and it didn't count for a whole lot, but I'm like, listen, man, when we start – this is not gymnastics, right, where how pretty you do a routine or diving – or ice skating or something like that. They're still sports, right? Maybe equestrian, they do that, Phil. Maybe. How pretty is your form? And stuff.
That is true. Yeah. I bet there is a form element to that.
And because of allegedly because of sportsmanship, they don't want the margin of victory to matter. So, but winning and losing is the object of the game. I'm not going to sit there and, I mean, in football, football's like the opposite. It's like they don't even think about anything other than like loss column in college football. But you don't sit there and say, who has the most yards? All right. You're going in over this team that you beat, you know. I like wins. I like wins and losses mattering some.
Yeah, the one thing I don't like about the net is, and I mean, we haven't had to talk about this much these past 2 years, but you think back to the NCAA tournament team 2 years ago, they had that Charleston Southern win that was in like middle of December where they won, South Carolina won by 2 points or something. Like, you're going to have games like that in those December early games where, you know, nothing goes right for you, but you find a way to win. But that game like held them back in the net for most of that season, where they probably could have been up into the 30s, but because they were so close on that Charleston Southern win, that was one of the things that was holding them back. So the net has its issues. Like, you know, you talk about sportsmanship, like I think you're starting to see, like, I mean, these teams are running up scores now because that point differential matters so much in the net.
Yeah, it's like, it's just kind of crazy. Craiger said a bracketology guy from The Athletic had them on the 11 line. Maybe so.
I think we'll be in Dayton if they're in now, obviously.
Yeah.
But I mean, I wouldn't mind it either. I mean, okay, play your way in, right? I mean, show me.
In the play-in game. I mean, that's fine, too. Lenardi missed some last year. He did. He was kind of not his year. He's usually like one or two will be off, but he usually gets it. But, yeah, I just I don't know. At Carolina, we don't have to worry about that right now. But to the net, to me, it's like it, because the idea is we're going to count every game 1 through 30 the same. And I'm like, dude, you're making all these teams play because you stupidly put the schedule back in November. Teams play more November games than December games. And you're counting that when more than half, almost 80% of the country could care less about basketball at that point. Because if you play football at all, you're not really getting into basketball in November. Right. I don't know why they did that. I think it's that's one of the dumb things that I just don't know that anybody will ever fix.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to I may as well go down to, they have a cave about 50 miles from here at this place called some kind of rock. It's a waterfall and a cave. I may as well go and shout that into that cave when nobody's around. And it would do just as good. So what do you think about Lamont Paris being retained? I want to get your thoughts on this, Alex.
Yeah, it felt like this for this past month or so was where this was trending. You know, I think the question I always had was, if you are going to move on from Lamont Paris, like, you know, what would your NIL situation look like for year one of a new coach, just because you're having to pay out Lamont Paris's buyout, the coach's assistant coach's buyout, new coach's buyout, probably that assistant's buyout, like, what was NIL going to look like? So I thought that was probably going to be one of the big contributors to that. I think that probably ended up being one of them. And now you see, you know, give them the extra NIL. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it. But, like, with the expected more NIL coming, like, you know, the evaluation process just has to get better at South Carolina. There's just been too many misses from a transfer portal standpoint. And, like, that's where the roster is going to be built for next season. And, obviously, a crucial season for Lamont Paris. Like, they've got to figure out how to be able to hit on those guys this season.
But Alex is the GM of the South Carolina Hoops program. Who do you retain off of this roster?
Oh, whoa, Phil. Dude, I was about to fire that question.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my Lord. I think something's wrong with my brain today.
It's got to be if you're thinking like I am.
Wally Scissorback, and now Phil, I think my brain waves are exposed. And they made it right. Yeah, that's a great question, Phil. Dynamite drop in, Marty. Anyway, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, the ones that come to mind for me, I probably lean toward that freshman group, Eli Ellis, like E.J. Walker. I think, you know, a lot of times he's having to play like more of that five type of role for South Carolina this season, which is not his best spot, but. You know, I think in the future, in a four type of role, I think he could give them something. Eli, like, I think Hayden Simeon's kind of in that same mold as E.J. Walker. Like, I think in a different type of role than what he had to play this season, I think he could give them something. That's kind of the three that really stick out to me right now. I think with guys like an Elijah Strong, I think you can bring him back under, you know, maybe he could be like a sixth man type of thing, a seventh man type of thing coming off the bench because, you know, I think he obviously had his struggles defensively, but, you know, he did show in some games where he can't have some of those takeover types of games. Obviously, I think you want to, you know, control some of the shooting and things like that with him. But, you know, I think under certain circumstances, maybe you look at Elijah Strong guy too.
What about Cam
Scott? That would be the four that would come to mind for me.
What are your thoughts on Cam Scott?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I just feel like if he couldn't get on the court this year and they're redshirting him, like, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's something where he takes a big step this offseason and is able to come back. But, you know, you got to at some point, like, you're going to have a lot of spots for a roster for transfer portal guys, too, with this spot. And I just think at that guard spot, you're going to have to go older, experienced, and things like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think even if you keep five, you still have plenty of room, you know, to strengthen and bolster. Yeah,
I mean, you got 10 spots from that.
Right. I mean, yeah, it's like you and all you really need, I mean, with three elite top tier players, and then you just fill in the roles around them, you can be successful.
I should have mentioned Grant Polk too. Like, I like some of the things he can do. I think from a shooting standpoint, he started off pretty good, then went cold as the SEC play started. But sometimes I think as a freshman, you can kind of hit those walls. But like, I think he's got some things that he could be really helpful because Lamont Paris needs shooters and likes shooters in this offense, and he can definitely do that.
Yeah.
All right, Phil, you answer that question.
All right, who am I keeping? I agree with the freshman. I think, Ellis, Simeon, I would also say Polk for sure. And EJ Walker. I think those are four core guys. It also, while it may not have necessarily manifested itself on the court, they know the ropes in the Paris program, right? So you don't want to bring in an entirely new roster where they're having to refamiliarize themselves with everybody. I think you keep Cam Scott coming off the red shirt as well. So I'm basically keeping the young core of this group. Obviously, they need to further develop. They do have potential. Like, there are a few guys on there that have high ceilings. And if you can further develop them here at South Carolina and help them to realize their ceiling, then you have a better opportunity. I even think at the same time, you know, it's interesting. Like, beyond that, my feelings aren't going to get hurt. My feelings won't get hurt if anybody leaves. That's the way it works. But, you know, if anybody else is retained or not, I can see the argument for Strong in that he was asked to do something that he's not really equipped to do this year. And if you are going to have him as more of a forward than actually trying to force him into the five because your 7-footers don't fit that mold either, I'm okay with that. I believe I've let my feelings be known about the 2 7-foot-tall players that we have on our team, the tall men who don't play like big men. And then, you know, go overpay for a guy who knows how to produce down low in the post and who has the ability to stretch the floor. I'm sure there's a person like that, but somebody's got to identify that. But, yeah, I'm keeping the young core, JC. I'm making the argument for Elijah Strong to stay on the team, if assuming that he's not asked to, you know, try to fit into the five role.
EJ Walker.
Just one. Yeah, he's good. That's end of list.
Nobody else is worth paying a dime more to. Nobody else is. I mean, in fact, most of them should make significantly. I don't know exactly how much a lot of the younger kids are making. Grant Polk, I would probably consider because he can shoot, but I think he really needs to get a lot stronger.
Yeah.
And he wilted in a lot of big situations, and that's why he couldn't shoot. He's a naturally good shooter. But I don't know that he was supposed to play a whole lot this year. Isondico and Butler, there's 15 spots to fill.
Yeah.
If they want to come back for a scholarship, yeah. I'll take at least 2 or 3 of these guys if they want a scholarship. I would probably consider paying Eli Ellis, but if I mean, I know more than what he was making.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rest of them, no, especially Elijah Strong. I mean, no, listen, if you want to go win next year, this guy can, when he's not on, and he's really not a guy that's always, I mean, you know, he's not going to be on every game.
No.
He can hurt you because he doesn't even look at the basket. I mean, he needs to be in like a Charlotte or someplace like that, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm not being ugly, you know.
I'll agree that EJ Walker, like if I'm ranking the guys that I list, like EJ Walker's top of the list, and there may even be a little bit of a gap there just because I really like what he showed, especially coming off of planning to redshirt this season. With Elijah Strong, I think he, if you bring him back, he could be like a seventh man type of role, somewhere in that role where he can give you 10 to 15 a night. And that's, I just think that's where he fits best. But that also depends on, it can be hard to answer that question now, not knowing what they could bring in, where they could fill out that roster, where like maybe you don't.
My thing for that, though, would be like if you bring him in for 15 minutes and he goes 0 for 9 in that 15 minutes, he's done and he's just chunking shots up. I mean, he's when he gets on, he's very valuable. I mean, he scored 30 points in a game. I mean, the guy, when he gets hot, he can fill it up, but you have to find somebody that can shoot like that and do that and be a little more consistent, but also athletically not be a complete liability in all of the facets.
And got to give you something defensively.
And shot selection with him, you know, I mean, I would be a hard no on that. Now, I'm not saying the staff thinks that. I'm just giving you my opinion, and I'm not, you know, but, you know, Butler, you know, like I said, some of these guys, if they just wanted to be on the team, I mean, you got to fill 15 spots. Great. But no more moolah for a lot of these guys. Cam Scott's intriguing. You know, the thing about him and red shirting is he's kind of skinny. Right. And I think that, you know, maybe he got a little humbled going into the portal and found out, oh, wait a minute, you know, and he's a local kid. I wouldn't mind giving him a shot. I wouldn't pay him anymore, you know, but I wouldn't mind giving him a shot. The rest of them, no, it's just, you know, and it's not that they're bad people or that they're just clearly not this level. I mean, even the younger guys like Eli Ellis, for example, he's got a long way to go. I mean, he's not just like, okay, next year he'll be better. He's got a long way to go in a lot of ways. I appreciate his hustle. I appreciate the fact he gets after it. And when he was in the game, it didn't matter if he was 0 for 12 or whatever. He's limited on defense, but he hustles. He gets rebounds. I mean, you know, I think he's a valuable college basketball player, but is he, do you pay him superstar money? No, I don't think you pay him top 8 money.
No, right. Yeah.
But that's just me. If you're really trying to get to the tournament next year, which my understanding is they have to. So I don't know. That's a good discussion, Alex, right? Way to go, Phil. Way to ask that question.
Kick that thing off.
That's going to be, you know, intriguing to watch what they do because you kind of had to make those decisions from a retention standpoint before getting into the portal because you're going to want to have your guys a list of targets and things like that. Like, you don't want to get, you know, caught behind and end up being like, okay, well, we were retained, but then those guys are going to move on if you want to do keep them.
Lamont Paris said yesterday they're going to start that process right away. He said they already had.
Yeah.
So there'll be some meetings. So there'll be probably some news out there.
Yeah.
As all these teams around the country seasons end, it'll be like football where he's going to get into the portal. Portal doesn't open until April 7th, so that's good. But
yeah, you're starting to see that from some mid-major
program. Yeah, you'll start to see people do that. But Clint says we need more Chris Silva and Michael Carrera type of guys. Yes, you do. Chris Silva was a freaking beast of a basketball player.
Right.
I mean, I saw this Leonardo Batoli or Batil. Leonardo, the place for UMass. Remember in was it in the Final Four game? Remember Silva one time like went up, break the layup, got the rebound, break the layup, got the rebound again, and then finally scored. This kid Leonardo had a play just like that today. I saw in the highlights.
Yeah, I think it was against that guy from Gonzaga. I can't remember
his name.
Really big guy.
The big lumberjack looking dude.
Yeah. And I think it may have fouled him out on that play or something like that. But
yeah.
But I think in the portal, like, I mean, your top two wants are point guard and a rim protector, scoring forward, center somewhere. I think that's your top two China wants.
I think it's all of the above.
Yeah, I mean, just whatever. But like, I think that's, you got to go find those two, and those, I mean, those are going to be pricey because everybody wants those guys.
Well, that's the whole thing, is they're going to spend money. So
yeah,
I don't, you know, but like, I don't think it's just money. And you know, when people say evaluation, you know, I think people start talking about, like, thinking about football. It's a, you know, everybody's still got kind of a football mindset. I don't necessarily think it's an evaluation as so much as discovery and identification. I don't think they casted a wide enough net. Now, in fairness to them, there wasn't a lot of time last year because everybody was trying to get in ahead of the house settlement. Mm-hmm. And number two, they don't really have enough people to do that. There's 361 Division I basketball programs. How are you going to figure out who all's out there, right? They don't, you know, Kerry Rich is great at relationships but that nobody that's on the staff right now has the time to sit there and really, so they need to bring that into the, you know, they need to help him with that, whether that guy's called a GM or not. And like I said, in my piece today, you know, it doesn't matter if it's called, I think you guys know I'm against pro, like I'm against what Florida did. Florida cost themselves Lane Kiffin because they insisted on hiring a general manager from the Jaguars and having him report to the AD. And this is basically in charge of John Summerall and the coach. I'm like, this is the one head coach out of all of them that you would want recruiting the portal in this era, because he's elite at it. And he's proven that at Ole Miss. And you're going to take that away from him and give it to the dude from the freaking Jaguars? I think football's fundamentally different, though. Because the NFL always is, they are always going to get players that have at least 3 years of college, even if they've only had 2 years of playing. The rules are different as far as going up there. They do not have a minor league, which nobody ever talks about. While college sports, you know, has all this chaos, nobody ever talks about the fact the NFL, because the whole thing is that the college football is a monopoly, right? Why is it the responsibility of the college to be the minor league for the NFL? Why can't high school guys just go pro if they're that good? They're not. None of them are. But why not? Let them play in recreate the He Hate Me League. Let them go play there. Anywho, I digress. But that's such a developmental type projection of a sport, even that, you know, in the NBA, you have to develop as well. But their scouting people are set up to kind of, number one, you can kind of tell a little bit better in basketball. You know, because you're constantly seeing good versus good. Number two, you know, they're set up to go get guys to go in the G League, right? They're drafting and signing players that are 19 years old, 1 year out of high school, you know, and they are projecting. So the town, like, if I'm an NFL guy, my mindset is I want a guy that's a complete package and a pro. You know, they're not really projecting all that much in the NFL. At the most, when they draft a rookie, they're like, well, in 2 years, he'll be good. That's 1 year, they'll be good. Sometimes it takes, in the college level, three or four, right? Those are just facts. But in basketball, those people that scout the pro, they're, you know, number one, they're scouting all the Division I schools, plus internationally, I mean, they're trying to find players. Number two, you can say, okay, well, this guy is, you know, at this level, he's here, we put him in the G League, he gets here and here and here. And so I think they're better equipped for it. So I wouldn't mind somebody with an NBA background coming in there and doing it, because I think it's far more applicable to basketball than an NFL dude would be for football. And that's nothing against, like, the guy Rex they hired for the Gamecocks. He's been hired to scout the portal for transfers, and they needed that definitely. I'm not, I draw the line at, like, the Lombardi guy at North Carolina or this dude from the Jaguars at Florida. That's where I draw the line. Let's just hand it over to an NFL guy. Great. That's worked at South Carolina so much in football. Right. Basketball, though, I want to be clear about that. This may surprise you, but basketball is a little different.
Yeah.
I would think. What do you think about possible help?
Yeah, if they do bring in someone that's like a GM role type of thing, like obviously they're going to have past success in recruiting the transfer pool, because I mean that's where this roster is going to come from next year. I mean, you got Marcus Johnson coming in from the freshman ranks, but I mean, you know, your success is going to come from the transfer portal, and maybe you can find somebody that's already kind of, you know, familiar with what this cycle is going to be from a transfer portal. Because I mean, as you mentioned, it's not going to be much time. I mean, it opens April 7th. Like, it's with how many programs there are, like you mentioned, like even starting now, like it'd be nearly impossible to evaluate every possible player out there.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, somebody that, you know, but if there's a guy that's like the assistant scouting guy for some basketball franchise, you know, he works there and, you know, wants to run his own show, you bring him in. He's already familiar because he's been scouting. And you also need somebody with some connections. A large part of basketball recruiting is connections. And, you know, like Dave Odom and Frank Martin had these connections where they would just go find guys. It's still about relationships and stuff. Fascinating guy. Thing. Clint says Silva had massive hands. All right. Bruin says he doesn't even think Eli Ellis considers coming back. He'll go where his brother goes. Isn't his brother going to Louisville?
He's committed there. Yep.
I don't know. I'm 50. I'm kind of 50-50 on it. Now, what do you think?
I'm saying, yeah, 50-50 on it. I think that was probably the easy assumption whenever that whole thing happened, but it could just be its own type of situation. We talk about with Isaac Ellis and, you know, how he reclassified again and committed.
Yeah, I think Marcus Johnson Craig is a point guard, right?
Yes.
It's Michi's brother, right?
Yep.
So, yeah. So, another, he's a good player, really good player. I think Clint says we need a Billy Bean type of guy. You need Billy Bean in the dugout in baseball, right?
Yeah, you do.
Do you know who Billy Bean is?
I don't.
Okay, the movie Moneyball.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The GM, like, Brad Pitt, played his, and like, he gets on base.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
He got to get on base, right? Go in there.
Get on base.
You're going to start this guy because he gets on base, right? Anything football-wise come up? I know they're on spring break, man. I was telling the other day, I forgot they were on spring break on Monday, and I was going through Instagram and had a little panic attack. So I saw Dylan Stewart was in Miami. I'm like, what's he doing in Miami? You know, but he's on vacation, JC, you moron. But anything football that sticks out to you, you know, so far after a week of spring ball?
I think, you know, it's just going to be interesting once they get back into it, especially this next week. You know, you got into the rhythm of 3 days of practice. Now you had that week off, like, you know, getting back into the rhythm of that. I mean, I think, again, it's just from what we saw out there that one day, like, you know, I think the three practices that you had for South Con, like, it's just get into the rhythm of what's expected day in and day into practice and things like that. I think now once they get into this week two, now you'll see them really kind of, you know, take those next step with the implement of the offense, putting all of it in. And now I'm interested, you know, see kind of, you know, hear what, from an offensive standpoint, what you hear about how quickly the unit as a whole is picking up. I know everybody wants to hear about the offensive line and things like that, but, you know, how quickly, you know, how easy is it for these for the offensive players to pick up that Kendall Briles system? Because I mean with the way Briles has been around for as long as he has, like, he knows how to simplify and things like that, and that's kind of what makes him really good.
Yeah, I think so too. I heard Lenore Sellers pretty happy.
Yeah, about, and you could hear him in his press conference that he was pretty comfortable with. Now I'm sure people love to hear that when he said that, you know, basically 1-2 read, take off, go. Things like that. You
Dude. I mean, that's college football. Yeah. I mean, that's college football. If you have a quarterback like Sellers, you're limiting yourself by the longer you make him stay in the pocket or ask him to stay in the pocket, the more you're limiting what you can do. And so I don't think Kendall Brown's going to have him do that. That's just not his philosophy. Mm. Right. Back to basketball. I got some questions here and then we'll let you go. Tri-State says, I like Cam Scott. I think combo guards who can create their own shot and offense is critical college or the pros. I can see a guy like John Calipari turning Scott into a typical Coach Cal type of scoring guard, and he's had a lot of them. Your thoughts?
I think just for next season, this is going to be interesting. Maybe you can bring him back. I don't think you can bring him back for a projected starting role type of thing. Like, I think you've got to go out there and get guys who are proven, just because of how big of a year this is for Lamont Paris. But if like if Cam Scott wants to come back next year, like kind of like you're talking about, you know, you got to fill 15 spots. Like, you know, I think you got to be careful with that because you saw how, you know, you saw some of the reaction of when the 15th scholarship was used this year. But I just think you got to be careful with that. Like, I think you can bring him back, but just for a certain type of role, just because he hasn't proven it yet. And it's just such a big year for Lamont Parrott. I think you got to go with the most proven ways.
I tell you what I'm doing with the last five spots on the roster. And if it's some of these guys that are still on the roster at one state, it's fine. I'm carving out about $250 a year, right?
Yeah.
Which is good money.
Yeah.
And I'm scouring D2 and low majors on bad teams of guys that can be my last five guys. Like that's their floor. And right. You may find some guys that are some diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, I think your money this year needs to come 1 through 8
on the roster. Yeah,
when you get into conference play, not only Lamont, but I mean most coaches do this. Like that's where your rotation is, and that's who your 8 player. 1 through 8 is really where it needs to be.
So if you do that, and then so that leaves you, if you have, let's say you have $11 million, you do that with a $250 million. That leaves you $10 million for 1 through 10. You know, one of those probably gonna be Marcus Johnson. That's probably an already agreed to number. You know, maybe you get, you know, E.J. Walker. Well, maybe who knows what he'll get to come back. But it almost leaves you like $1 million a pop for players. They're not all $1 million. Yeah. You know, I mean, not good ones are – you know, really good difference makers are like 1.3. That was kind of the problem I had with last year was it was like, okay, you had 6 and that was obviously not enough. Oklahoma also had 6. And I don't think anybody would argue their roster's worse than South Carolina's.
No. The way I could see it being like, as I mentioned, the money's 1 through 8, but your 9 and 10 need to be guys who you feel comfortable can come in there. Cause you're going, I mean, every year you're going to have an injury or two.
Like yeah,
exactly. 10 need to be guys that you feel good about who can come in and give you solid minutes. Then you kind of, I think, can fill. But I think you can fill that with the way you're describing right now, too.
Yeah, yeah. I would just, you know, maybe you don't even fill up. Maybe you just take 14. Who knows? I mean, there was a lot of angst and consternation over the 15th spot. I think because that was probably going to, you know, they were thinking that was going to be Murray Boyles, and it wasn't. Yeah, so I don't know. But you know, that's another thing I was talking about identification is, okay, if you add more people helping you find players, you maybe have a player you've kept kind of warm, ready to go.
And right? It could be like an international guy.
Yeah, like, international.
Because you see Brad Underwood has filled out his roster at Illinois with international guys, and it's worked out pretty well for him. Like you're seeing that move starting to come back or at least get bigger in college.
There are 4 European-born guys on that UMass team that just took out Miami today.
Right.
Well, wait a minute. Well, guys, hold on. Carolina has Europeans. Norden Kapich is from Austria.
He is. He's an Austrian.
Mongolian Mike is from where is he from? Yeah. I'm kidding. I was gonna get y'all there. You know, you have Chris DeSonico is from France.
Well, has Mongolian Mike played?
Yeah, he's out of eligibility. He's another one, man. When he's at his best, it's a stud.
Yeah. He's good. Yeah,
but he's not. He's not a 1 point whatever $1 million. Starter type guy, I don't think.
No.
But if he played like he, you know, you want to open up his head and pour the aggression into it.
Yeah, there are guys who like who are seniors who can't come back, like outside of Michi Johnson, like, you know, if you could choose to just out there throwing that out there, like Kobe Knox, I think you'd bring back if you could, and a Mike Schroff. Now, it's not that this is relevant because they can't, but yeah. I like those two gave you something this year. And I think they got better this year too.
Knox did get better as the season went on. He was disappointing at the beginning, mainly because he was bricking layup after layup, but he takes some athletic plays.
Defensively, he got a whole lot better.
And Mike Schroff Jones, yes, I would. I mean, he's just kind of freaky and different. And I honestly think my theory on him is changing schools every year hurt that kid.
Yeah.
Because if he could you imagine if Mongolia and Mike played for Frank Martin for 4 years, how good that guy would be?
Yeah. I mean, he would have been because he in that defense too. And that Frank
Martin,
like you saw guys in Frank Martin's system, like year three, year four, like a Dwayne Notice type who just became a bulldog on ball defending. Like,
yeah.
Rob Jones could have been that if he did that.
How? All right. So last question. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. Last question here. And I'll answer the rest of these when we get back from break. So how many practices would Kreese DeSondico last under Frank Martin? Ballpark. I put the over under at 3.5.
That might be high.
Yeah, I was going to go under. Yeah. Don't think that would be a match made in heaven.
That's not a match, man.
No.
And I'm not saying, I mean, look, I know that he had to go back to France for some reasons and stuff, but that guy, he's one that's gotten significantly worse, because at St. Joe's when he's a freshman, he's pretty good, you know? And then I think he was at St. Joe's the second year and could pass and average. And then I guess whatever went wrong at Providence went wrong. And then he was just never healthy and in shape. I don't know.
When you watch his highlights, a little bit of Providence, but even St. Joe's, like, all right, if South Carolina can tap into some of this and make it consistent, like that. Some of it was there, but that just never happened.
All right, Alex, man, you enjoy this baseball series this weekend. I'm sure the message boards will be fired up about it.
Well, I'm sure. I'm sure it will.
Unbelievable. All right, man, you are the best, and we'll try to have a better VHS dates this week or a weird cartoon. Yeah, I don't think I think we failed in throwing you off this week. It was very almost normal.
We had plenty to talk about, though.
Absolutely. Our late night Gamecock show, Sunday night, 7 p.m., Chief Sports Network. Alex Jones, everybody. We'll be back to wrap it up after this.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
We are officially opened at the all-new JT's Kia. You've got to see it to believe it.
We're serious about making your buying experience fast, friendly, and hassle-free.
Get grand opening 0% for 60 months on the new JT's Kias. Put no money down and get my million-mile warranty. I'm so excited, savings up to $10,000.
I'll throw in $5,000 over book value for your trade. That's a grand opening for the record books.
Hurry to the all-new JT's Kia.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
Gamecock Traditions is your one-stop shop for all things South Carolina. From apparel to tailgating, children's clothing to kitchenware, jewelry, or even gift cards. If it exists, it exists at Gamecock Traditions. Ship it to your home via gamecocktraditions.com or go see our friends in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, a family tradition. Go Gamecocks.
Sell your quality sports and fitness equipment to Play It Again Sports and get paid. Recycling your in-demand sports gear keeps it available in your community. Sell, buy, trade, and win with Play It Again
Sports! Watch JC and Morgan every week on the Chief Sports Network. Now back to ITG.
This seems about right.
And I'm searching for a rainbow. And if the wind never showed me where to go, you'll be waiting at the end and I'll
The show loves Spartanburg. Now back to Mad Dog and Sparkle City's finest, J.C. Sherbert.
Welcome back, everybody, inside the Gamecocks, the show. Final segment of the show here on a Thursday. Had a good Gamecock smorgasbord with Alex Jones. Be sure to check it out if you missed it. Be live on YouTube here shortly. That UMass Miami game.
That was awesome. Starting rotation for this weekend has been announced.
Oh.
Josh Gunther will start game one, Amp Phillips game two, and TBA game three. So I don't know, man. See, I'm going to not be negative until, you know, I just, yeah, one of the best pitching coaches in America if you'd have just retained him and you brought your buddy in who has a spotty. I mean, I'm just going to shut up. let's hope for the best. I mean, the pitching's been good in spots this year. It really has. So,
yeah.
But it did disturb me to hear Bradford, who was a catcher and who knows what pitchers should be doing, say they're poorly coached. And he was absolutely right in some of the aspects of the game. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going to roll through the chat box, the McKellar Enterprises chat box. Chaco chiming in. Do y'all think Coach Paris's offensive philosophy is attractive to recruits? All of us seen this year from other teams in our conference, a lot of movement and flow with the ball. It's designed to have a lot of movement and flow with the ball. They just don't always do it for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Now, is it a fast pace? Do they go up and down the court? No.
No.
they're not a big fast break team. But when it's working, Chalk, it's like 2 years ago, I loved watching that team play. I mean, and look, they lost to Auburn pretty, like 100-61. Even in that game, I kept watching it because, you know, they passed it around. They shared the ball. It was cool, you know, team basketball. Then they nailed good shots and, you know, they could win games in the 60s. And then the last game of the year, they went to Mississippi State and won 93-89. I mean, because they could score. I mean, they could score. But, you know, do I think it's attractive to recruits? I don't know. I don't even think in basketball, it's just, I don't know, man. I don't even know that anybody cares about that stuff anymore. So much about money and money and minutes. So now if all things are equal, the money and minutes are equal, things start to factor like how good your program, can you win and all that good stuff. That matters, but it matters secondary from all that. But that's an interesting question. I mean, maybe so. I don't know.
It could.
Maybe the Nike shoes will help combat that this year.
I don't know. I mean, the way the game opened last night, JC, I mean, it was fun. They're moving it around. You had 8 assists on 10 made baskets.
I mean, you know, yeah, they're busting. Yeah. I was like, they're going to mess around and win this game.
I know.
And then it was like, oh, I see now.
Yeah.
And again, this is according to OU Insider, a sourced group. Now, OU Insider stupidly tried to tell everybody what everybody else's NIL was, and it was completely off. Mm. But Oklahoma spent just as much as South Carolina. What they were trying to do is prove a point that Porter Moser didn't have enough money. Mm. But you look at that roster and compare it to South Carolina, and they obviously did something right. And they have about four guys that are really good. And that's they're not a very deep team. But certainly they've won 7 of 9 now, all in the SEC. Russell says, I'm correct in how riders are scored in equestrian. They use a point system. The rider also has to be on the correct lead and get the number of strides between the jumps. Okay, good. Clint has a football thing that I have some comments on. I'm looking forward to seeing our young D's this season. Walker, of course, curious to see how Quay Dodd is progressing. I know he's a little banged up right now, but I really like his ceiling. Yeah, Clint saw Jaquavius Dodd live and in person when he was at Eastside. Liked his upside then. I thought last year, Phil, he got in, got a sack in garbage time in one of those games with South Carolina State or somebody. He's 6'6", 240, so he's built good. I think he's actually tracking to play maybe sooner than his cousin Kevin did at Clemson. That was, if I'm not mistaken, Kevin Dodd didn't really start playing until maybe junior or maybe it was even his senior year, and then he got drafted. Mm. I think Quay's probably a little bit further along than Kevin was at the same stage, but man, you can get him going. That's good. Here's what I'm looking for out of him this season. Get in the rotation somehow.
Right.
You know, just get some snaps under your belt. That's provided everybody's healthy. You know, you want to make sure of that. But I don't know about him being in the two deep or whatever, but you know, if he could be kind of like Desmond Umezulu a couple of years ago. I think Desmond played like 175 snaps, something like that. Mm. That's what I want to see out of him and all that. But I like him, and I'm with you. So we'll see. Russell asks, how much money do you think Lamont gets to spend this week, this year? Clint says 10.5. I've heard 10 to 12, 11 to 12. Yeah, but, you know, here would be my question about that. And one thing, I'm not being critical in saying this. I'm just saying that I hope somebody would pay attention to this. There are no more rules, folks. There are no more rules. Maybe I was naive and I thought, well, surely that everybody's going to kind of get behind everything and do
some
it.
Structure, right.
And if there's some, there may be one or two holdouts out there, and then but they're going to get, you know, their leagues are going to step in and pull. No, none of that's happening. Mm-hmm. And everybody's guilty because the conferences could stop it, but they don't, you know, because, oh my God, well, maybe we may lose $1 million. We may lose our TV contract. You know, I mean, this isn't college sports anymore, but it's not pro sports either. It's a reality television show.
Right.
that's what it is.
You're right.
You know, a big money reality television show, but that's what it is. Reality TV, because that's how they're treating it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a sport. I mean, they're not treating it like sports or you know, none of that. But yeah. So what I would be worried about is okay, you go to 10. Well, most of the schools that are, you know, and look, man, like you're Ole Miss, you spent 10. And you're, you know, they did win the other day. They're not, you know, Mississippi State spent 8, you know, weren't very good. I mean, a lot of schools that ended up kind of not being as good this year spent. So it doesn't guarantee anything.
No.
But last year, you know, Florida was like at 4, 4.5, and they won it all. So you go to 6 and you're still at the bottom. So my question is, because there's no rules, is that really going to get it done? Now, there was all the front loading and stuff last year, but this past year in football was an eye opener. Those rosters increased, so why wouldn't it for basketball? And so you got to make sure that's enough, and you're not going to be down at the bottom again, and we're doing all this over again. So,
oh yeah, we don't want to relive.
I hope it sounds like plenty, but I mean, my God.
Well, it's all. I mean, and that just points to the evaluation process. Like, you're going to have to tighten that up because whatever the process was to evaluate the talent that came in this cycle was not sufficient.
It was rushed, and they didn't have enough. They have people doing groundwork, laying groundwork. I think that's why they need some. You need some human resource investment too.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. I mean, and preferably somebody's got some vast connections. Because look, this program, most programs at South Carolina, like I said the other day, have never been good if they don't have coaches or somebody that can find players.
Yeah,
you got to go find them. You know, Clint wants to go with Brandon Stone on Sunday. I'm with you.
I don't know. I don't mind starting Goodman on Sunday with a short leash.
Man, see, in theory, I'd be there with you. But I think throwing the TBA out there is I mean, he needs confidence, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That doesn't do much for anybody's confidence. So,
well, it's not necessarily this program, as we've seen over the past season and a third, is not necessarily designed to build up individual player confidence.
Absolutely not. All right, you can hit the music. We'll get out of here. Harrison says Matt Williams wanted to stay and didn't want to leave. It's disappointing. Well, now, yeah. I mean, that's any coaching change, though. Maneri wanted his guy. Rooney to be the pitching coach. So, we'll see. Poor Matt Williams. I mean, everybody got hurt, and I remember Carolina's just kind of out of pitching. Here he comes every inning.
Yep.
They tried to piece
walking
it
walking on out there.
And people got back. I'll say this about baseball, though. The one thing the fans of Carolina baseball, and they're great, have had an interesting relationship with is pitching coaches outside of Jerry Myers. Like, remember the Fire Calvi crowd?
The Calvies, I know.
Fire Calvi. That still lives on message boards. Fire Calvi, right?
Fire Calvi.
Justin Parker, they didn't like. Skylar Meade, they didn't like. They don't get anybody that Kingston had. It just, you know, but Jerry Myers, they always, yeah, they're fine with him. You know, he's the man. But there have been some elite coaches, pitching in South Carolina. Think about it.
Right.
Skylar Meade's winning at Troy, really good coach. Justin Parker, great job, Mississippi State. Matt Williams, great job at Coastal. So they got some good, these guys have been really good, despite the fact that, you know, while they're here, they're kind of the whipping. It's kind of funny. I don't hold it against anybody. It's baseball. There's funny, quirky things in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, so South Carolina fans are always going to hate the pitching coach. Just embrace it.
That's right. Yeah. Just go in there. Yeah.
Now, this one doesn't really get as much conversation as the others. So I think this is a little bit different. This is the very wise Carolina baseball fans not even wanting to talk about it because it's so bad.
I mean, well, there's so much other stuff going on right now.
Yeah. That's terrible. All right. Thanks to our sponsors, Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, also D's Wings, Resto Pros of the Midlands, Palm Casual, McKellar Enterprises. Don't forget the Tartan Festival South. Go out there and celebrate Celtic heritage. You may run into Mike Morgan. It certainly run into my happy bahunkas if I was able to make it. For the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, it's J.C. Sherbert. It's been Inside the Gamecocks, the show on a Smorgasbord Thursday. It's me, Matt Anderson, the late night Gamecock, in tomorrow to wrap up the week. Don't forget, no coffee tomorrow. We're going to start season two of coffee bright and early Monday morning. Going to take a little spring break ourselves after 250 episodes of that show. Four quarter Friday in the morning, high school sports. Steve and Matt Smith. Also, the late night Gamecock show Sunday, along with SEC Sunday night. We certainly appreciate you listening, folks. Brighter days ahead. That's right. Hopefully this weekend down in Florida, but we'll just hope for the best.
Hope
for the best. All right. See you later.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
You're listening to a podcast right now, driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own podcast is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads just like this. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start your new podcast for free today at RSS.com.